The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. I am Justice Mosqueda. I am now on my third location since my water heater blew up. They have now found asbestos in the apartment. So I'm at least 3 weeks out from returning, which means I'm going to probably be out at least 2 months. I'm just hoping to be back by draft day at this point. I'm joined here by Tyler Brooks. Say what's up, people, Tyler.
What's up, people? Justice, you having to be like draft HQ in an Airbnb or wherever it is could be very interesting.
The thing, too, is my cat is coming to play with me now because I'm recording on a bed. It's 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, so it's not as bad as you guys would think. We rented out this Airbnb for 2 weeks on a 3 week timeline now. So there will have to be a fourth location if I'm doing something for the draft. Ooh. So we'll figure it out then. Do have my wrestling mask though, so I will be ready on draft day with that thing. We're going to be talking about the NFL draft. No position today. We did our work. We went through all the positions. At least at the top tippy top needs right now. We're actually running a poll at APC. If you guys want to go vote on that, for the Packers top draft needs, I'm going to check the results right now because I had just written about it. Kitty boy, go away. The results are, 39% of people think linebacker is the biggest need. Then it's safety at 21%. I actually would have those flipped. I don't know how you feel about that. Right after safety, by one percentage point, interior offensive line at 20%. Tackles at 14%. And then nothing else is above 1% other than cornerback, which is 3%. Shout out to the five people who voted quarterback. Haters.
The national media really wants the Packers to take a corner. But I agree with you on the real safety bad linebacker talk.
I mean, because they're making mock drafts and they're just like, I need to use this guy.
Yeah. Like if it's Cooper DeJean, which I don't think we've ever actually had a full discussion on Cooper DeJean. We kind of glossed over him on safety talk, but that's the one that makes sense to me because, you know, we're talking about Xavier is going to be used. McKinney is going to be used in a versatile role. A guy like DeJean would make a lot of sense with rocking and rolling the safeties. It's just a question of, you know, how do you really want to play him? Because I think he could play corner at the NFL level. And I do think he's going to go earlier. Sure. I think he's going to go earlier than people think. There is going to be a team that just falls in love with him.
I don't know how early he's going to go. I know, like, PFF loves him and stuff. I like him.
Like, top 10 is not going to happen. No, absolutely not.
He has the whole injury question that he's dealing with right now, too, which, like, he's going to have his pro day workout in April and all that stuff. He didn't work out at Iowa. People talk about him as a hybrid safety cornerback. The safety stuff is a projection. I watched his snaps. He didn't play any safety. Like, it was real actual safety. Yeah, they called him, like, that hybrid safety role, and then everyone was like, oh, he's played safety in the past. No, he was a slot. I think people are a little worried just off of that zone defense, right? But anytime that he has to press, play quarters that way, play cover three that way, play man that way, he looks the part. I kind of think it's a lazy analysis. That's not to say if Green Bay turns in that pick, I think he's going to be a safety. But I think that's because of their needs.
Yeah.
It's not because of what he's able to do. There's been some interesting stuff. I guess this kind of rolls into one of our topics of discussion today. But like, one thing that I'm going to do a really good job of this year is keeping track of like what pro days the Packers have gone to.
You always do.
I've noticed.
Hey,
that,
don't like, sell yourself short, Justice. You always do a good job with top 30 visits, all this stuff.
Well, the top 30 visits I've been honing in on, especially the post, you know, pandemic classes, because I think the pandemic stuff, if you look back at those years, I'm specifically talking about 20 and 21, I think teams started to figure out how important those interviews are and getting second looks and making sure you bring those guys in on visits and stuff like that, because scouts weren't really on the road in the same way that they were, right?
Yeah.
And you have guys like, who's the Georgia kid at Tennessee who just like flamed out immediately? Baker, the cornerback who was with the Giants, who just flamed out. Like,
are you talking about the tackle for Titans?
Yes, the tackle.
Was it Isaiah Wynn? Yeah. Or am I thinking someone else? I could be wrong.
I don't know if it was Wynn. I think it's Isaiah something. I think it might be Isaiah Wilson is what it was. But yeah, there were a lot of like character busts over those years. And I think there's a reason why teams have kind of like doubled down on using high draft picks for these type of visits. That and we talked about this last year, you know, in the kind of the post-draft talk, but the whole idea of like undrafted free agency recruiting has kind of been nerfed because there's so much more money in it involved in terms of the signing bonuses and stuff like that. Like, there's teams that will give a signing bonus to an undrafted free agent and functionally give him 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 times more guaranteed money than a 7th round draft pick is going to make because he's now on the open market. Right. So I think it's a little bit less useful to bring those guys in on recruiting visits. So, noticing where the Packers go for these pro days is really important. Noticing who they bring in on the top 30 visits is really important. I've gotten this question a couple times, even when I talked about it on Twitter. People were like, why aren't they just at every pro day, right? And that sounds good until you like actually start looking at the schedule. Like, there's some days there's like 10 pro days on the same, and there's, you know, if you're talking about the real deal decision makers in Green Bay, one, they're not sending coaches out, right? So they're only sending guys in the front office. And there's like 4 guys who are major guys in the front office in terms of like the college scouting side. And then you're talking about area scouts at that point. Yeah. And hey, let's say LSU has a pro day the same day that Florida has a pro day. Well, your Southeast scout is the guy who's been watching those guys for 4 years, 5 years, hell, COVID season on top of that, 6 years. So which one do you want them to go to, right? Those are all things that you have to consider in these type of things. So I think it is important trying to figure out like where exactly the team is moving and what they're paying attention to. One thing that I've noticed from this, Tyler, I don't know if I wrote this article too, by the way. I have like a whole table of like every guy in the top 150 outside of quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, because I don't think that they're going to take guys that high. Maybe they go with wide receiver. Who knows? I could be a dumbass. But I excluded those guys just because it kind of like took up space. You can go on APC. I have a little grid, and it's, you know, split up by, you know, top 25 picks, then it's the next 25, then it's the next 25, et cetera, from the consensus draft board. Split by position, and you can look at, you know, all the guys that they've gone and seen in person or have reportedly either brought in on visits already or are going to bring in on visits. Mm-hmm. One thing that stood out to me, they're hitting a lot of corners.
A lot of corners.
So they've kind of done two things recently, which is very funny to me, which is one, hand Keyshawn Nixon a contract that pays him like a top 3 slot corner in the league, right? And also just back him up at every opportunity. I mean, LaFleur's done it. Goot's done it. Talking about how Halfley saw, you know, a really good player there, and they were really excited about what he did with his first year at a new position and all that stuff. And then at the same time, they're looking at all these cornerbacks. Now, a lot of these places have other players too. Mm-hmm. So, like, Alabama's got 2 corners, right? Apparently, they had talked to Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry a decent amount. per the reports on the field, right? But Alabama also has like J.C. Latham, who's a tackle, right? And, you know, they have Broswell, who's an edge rusher, right? Who might end up being a guy that they could look at in like the second round or something like that. Clemson, they have Nate Wiggins, right? But they also have, you know, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. And they also have Rook Ororo, whose name is very funny.
There you go. You killed it.
A defensive lineman. Yeah. I got that from, if I hadn't been watching the combine, I don't think I would have been able to pronounce that name. Missouri, Georgia, another Missouri kid, Notre Dame, Kentucky. There's a lot of these places that have multiple players, you know, who are going to go high in this draft, but they overlap at cornerback. But there's so much overlap that it's hard for me to kind of ignore that they're looking at the cornerback position.
I only have, if they are looking at corner, I think I have two theories about it. One, I think it is important to find a late nickel backup for Nixon, because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with him as a kickoff returner. Let's say he gets hurt. You kind of need that backup nickel, unless you want to put Stokes or Valentine in there. And then I think the second one, which is probably the more realistic, Halfley, who is known for developing defensive backs, might just want like his guy. I don't know what round that necessarily is, but him finding his guy he can develop into like a theoretical star. Like, I know he's going to have Jair and he's got McKinney, but he might just want that. Like, I want a rookie that I can develop, and he might be trying to push brass on that. But as you pointed out, a lot of these are just kind of pro days where other guys are also there that they could be looking at. But they did bring in, what is his name out of Florida State? Jones, Jarian Jones, which I thought was pretty interesting.
There's this slot corner. I talked to someone at FSU. I believe the direct quote from him was, he's sick as a slot. He's bad as an outside corner, is what I was told. And I'm willing to believe it, because I'm not grinding tape on a potential fifth round slot right now. That's not what I'm going to do with my time. Yeah, so there's like interesting situations like Georgia, right? Georgia is a place where, you know, you could potentially have Amarius Mims, the tackle prospect, right? He played right tackle for him. Kamari Lassiter, who, you know, apparently the Green Bay Packers, like according to draft analyst Tony Pauline, he had written that in the past. You know, he's a corner. Javon Bullard, who's like the only safety who's having like, you know, stock goes up in this draft class so far in the pre-draft process. Cedric Ramprand, the center from Georgia. So, like, there's places where there's multiple players that can interest the Packers, but there's also places that it doesn't really make sense for them to be there unless it's, like, one specific player. So I kind of want to touch on a couple of those. Mm-hmm. South Carolina is one that's interesting. I don't know if we've talked about this yet. You know, the number one player for South Carolina is Leggett, the wide receiver, right? He's probably going to go in the second round. I kind of think it's really doubtful that the Packers end up taking a second round wide receiver in this class. They just have so many mouths to feed already, and they're under long-term contracts. The only other player ranked in the top 180 for South Carolina is quarterback Spencer Rattler.
Hmm.
What do we think about that? Like, do we think that we're in the developmental quarterback market at some point?
I can't see it unless it's like late. I know Paul is a big fan of them drafting and developing Joe Milton out of Tennessee, like someone like that. Rattler is kind of getting enough buzz to me that I think he could end up being a day two pick, just because he's got arm talent and off platform throws. And there was a year at Oklahoma before he was drafted.
I watched him. He takes hits and he's pretty accurate for a college quarterback. The problem is gonna be all the off field stuff, because he's a guy that, I mean, it's been no secret. People have talked about that since he was in high school and stuff like that, and him in Oklahoma and all those situations. Like, the off-field stuff is going to be really interesting, because I don't know if he's like Johnny Football level type of thing, but like, people compared him a lot with like Tate Martell and some of those guys who burned out after, you know, being showcased. I think he was like on like a Netflix show or something like that.
Yeah, when he was in high school. And people hated him.
Yeah, I know people who. So, like, I know a buddy who was recruiting Arizona State, and they offered him a scholarship, because you got to offer him a scholarship. He's a local kid and all that stuff. But they were like, dude, not with a 100-foot pole. You know what I mean? Like, so it'll be interesting to see if they, you know, see quarterback value and say, like, hey, our backup is Sean Clifford. What do we have to lose, right?
Yeah.
Jordan Love played the whole 17 last year. That's not normal. I've talked about in the past starting quarterbacks, like half of starting quarterbacks in the NFL, like preferred starters, end up missing a game because of injury, not because, yep, you know, they get demoted or anything like that, just because of injury. Some other places, this was, I also wrote this up, the what do you call it, the pro day visits and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to check that out on APC. A couple other places where I think, you know, the Packers are looking at a specific player, Arizona with Jordan Morgan, mm-hmm, the tackle. He makes a lot of sense. We talked about him. I think he fits best as, you know, as a home blocker. He's probably going to be pretty consistent as a pass blocker. I don't think he's going to move guys a whole ton in the run game, but his best stuff comes in the zone. He is like a borderline first second round pick. I kind of think he's going to go late one, but we'll see. Minnesota, Tyler Newbin, he didn't end up running. I don't think he ended up running.
I think he tested poorly. Let me find it.
Did he? Well, I know he's coming off of the meniscus surgery, is what happened. You know, after the season, Newbin had a meniscus surgery, which is a pretty big deal considering the fact that I think still at this point he's considered like the consensus number one safety in this draft class.
He tested across the board, ran a 4.59. Shuttle was 4.5, which is very bad. 3-cone 7.2, only a 31.5-inch vertical. Did have a 10-foot broad jump, but his RAS is 2.91.
Yeah, I would have told him not to work out.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, he had, it looks like, I can't remember what the exact term is. It looked like meniscusitis when I read it. It's basically they're like taking parts of his meniscus out. Which is not great if you've ever had a knee injury. So I would assume he's a guy who's going to go back to Indianapolis for medical rechecks and stuff like that. The Packers will be heavily involved in all that. But I mean, they were there at Minnesota's pro day, and the next highest graded guy on Minnesota for the consensus draft board is 186th.
And it's a tight end. The tight end. Yeah. Brevin Spain.
Yeah. It's a tight end. Yeah. So like, they're probably not going to take him. I'm trying to think of other interesting guys. Arkansas had a guy named Bo Limmer.
I like him.
It looks like I haven't seen him. All right, talk to me about him, because I legitimately have no exposure for him.
So, I mean, he was one of these guys, like, we went through, you know, we're going to talk about like our second round of offensive linemen we went and watched. I did watch Limmer, and like the first thing that stood out was like, that is a very large center. You know, he's like 6'4.5", 302. So he's just like a tall guy. The way I had him, he's got good length and athleticism. I really want to see him just keep adding weight and play strength, but like, climbs really well, moves really well. He's probably just going to be a zone blocker. But I think you can kick him at guard or center. Just had a really interesting frame, play speed, moves really well. Think if he can add weight and play strength, he's going to be a pretty dang good center one day. I just don't know how quickly he's going to acclimate at the NFL level.
They sent three people to Wisconsin's pro day,
including that makes Goot, sense just because it's in state, right?
Yeah, and I think they sent the director of college scouting, if I recall correctly, was also there. Obviously, the two big guys, right? It's going to be Braylon Allen at running back. He didn't test at all. What the hell is going on with that situation, Braylon Allen? I would assume that you would want to, like, your whole thing is like athletic freak, right? Athletic freak, so young, like. You'd figure you want to get a look. And then the other guys, Tanner Bordolini, the offensive lineman who could kind of play center, kind of play guard. Have you seen him? I haven't studied him.
Okay. No.
A lot of Packers fans are excited about him.
I know Archon was not a big fan of him playing center because he was very bad at snapping. So probably more likely a guard guy. That I did not watch him. Sorry, Packers
UCLA.
Fans.
Oh, go ahead. UCLA has the trio of pass rushers, right? Laiatu Latu, Gabriel Murphy, Grayson Murphy. Yes, they are twins. And then Darius Musau, I believe, the Hawaii transfer linebacker. I really like him. He's currently ranked like as like a sixth round pick type of guy on the consensus draft board. I think he's going to go higher than that on draft day. I still firmly believe that. I think I had him ranked as like my fifth or sixth stack linebacker. He was one of the guys who had, you know, one of the best weeks of anyone at the East-West Shrine Game. The Shrine Game usually sneaks in a couple guys into the top 100. I would not be surprised if he's one of them. Sean Ryan was also at UCLA's pro day, which like,
yeah.
I guess if like, if you went to school out there, you'd probably just want to hang out there as much as possible. I mean, UCLA is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Colorado State, Muhammad Kamara. That's a pass rusher. A pass rusher is another position that I think, you know, Green Bay is probably looking at a little bit more than people think. Did you catch the quote that Gut had about the pass rushing position?
No.
At the NFL owners meetings this past week?
Did not.
So they asked him if, you know, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get like a smaller guys, basically, like more pass rushers. And he was like, I think a problem with 4-3 teams is you can get small in a hurry, especially when you're like kicking guys inside and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, then you end up having like a 230-pound guy on the edge. And then on the interior, you have like a 270-pound guy. And they don't really want to do that. And I was like, okay, that's important to note. Because, you know, as he mentioned, like that is a thing that these 4-3 teams are doing a whole lot of. So I guess that's not in the cards for Green Bay. They're going to look at big guys. They were there for the pro day for that big Missouri pass rusher. What do you think of him?
Darius Robinson.
He had a weird combine.
He did. He didn't test particularly well. I don't know if he's an end or a tackle. The thing I will say about him, of all the prospects I've watched this year, I don't know if anyone plays with better extension than him. Like his punch, get extended, disengage, helps with arm length, but just his play strength, arm length, sinks his hips at the point of contact. Like that is a edge setter if you need one. And he's got a couple moves as a pass rusher. He's not like the most explosive pass rusher you've ever seen. But he's got enough to work with. And I just think he's a huge asset in the run game. I have him as a top 50 grade. So just outside of the first round, but I mean, if they take him in the 40s, I'd be pretty pumped actually. I think he's an interesting fit, and just one of those guys that was not expecting to like, and just came away pretty impressed.
Yeah. So like Gut was there at Missouri's pro day, which is,
well, they got some players, man, like across the board.
They got, they got three guys who were expected to go in the first four rounds, right? It's Darius Robinson and two cornerbacks. So I'm like, okay, who are you there for? Right. Like that's kind of a piece to the puzzle and all this stuff too. Two guys that I want to talk about at the end of this are guys that the Packers have kind of double dipped with. They were at Kentucky's pro day and saw linebacker Tevin Wallace. And then they were at Northern Iowa's pro day and they saw defensive lineman Christian Boyd. They are allegedly bringing them in on top 30 visits also. Interesting strategy to kind of hit on a guy twice. It's also something that they've done in the past before, though. Like they did that for like Christian Watson. Like they were at North Dakota State's pro day and then also brought him in on a private visit. So it's not like it's the first time that they've done it. I think Devontae Wyatt was another one of those guys. I just like quickly went through and was like, have they ever done this before? And yes, they have. Wallace is a weird guy. He's being billed as like a very athletic player, but he didn't run the agilities. I think that's where he's not. He shows that he's not an athlete, right? Like there's times he can't carry a route downfield, but at the same time, he just turned 21, like in February. He's a 1.5-year starter for Kentucky. He's a big guy for the linebacker position, and he ended up running like a 4.5. I know if you go on like his combine profile on NFL.com, he's ranked as like the most athletic linebacker in the entire class based off of what he did in Indianapolis. But again, he avoided the agility drills. I would not be surprised if Trevin Wallace was a guy that like the Packers are internally just like having fights about, like on, like I wouldn't be surprised if someone likes him and then some people are like, absolutely hell no. And that's why, you know, they've gone to the pro day. They're bringing him in on a visit. They had a private interview with him at the combine, which the private interviews are actually halfway important because those are limited, right? And being able to get a guy on a limited interview, you know, kind of shows intent. The other thing too, he's an early decoration, so like they weren't able to get him at the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Game, right?
Gotcha.
So
what if you said you watched him for the you watched him for the linebacker episode? I don't remember what you said. What were your notes on him?
Yeah, I thought he was stiff. People talk about like sideline to sideline speed and stuff, but like when he gets going, I think he'd be a pretty good special teams player because of the amount of ground that he's going to make up. We'll see what, you know, how different stuff looks with the new kickoff. I'm not that aware. As someone who worked at personnel in XFL, I should be more aware of how the personnel works on kickoff and kickoff return with these rules, but I don't.
Well, didn't it keep changing as the season went on? Because they just kept trying new shit, right?
With us? No.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Oh, well, I thought, well, no,
teams,
I thought
teams
was
like the
schematic,
scheme.
Yes, yes.
I thought you meant the rules.
No. Sorry, the rules I meant scheme personnel on kickoffs.
Yeah. And XFL didn't have the same amount of bodies that the NFL has too, which is why I think it's kind of interesting also. But yeah, Trevon Wallace, like, he's going to be able to help you on like punt protection stuff early on. He's a guy who is kind of thought of as like a fifth round pick, but I've seen people talk about him as like a potential second round pick at the same time. I think people are split across the board on what the heck he is. I'm probably closer in the camp of like, wouldn't be the team to draft him. Like, I'm not winning the bidding war for Trevon Wallace, I guess is the best way to make it. But yeah, that's just my thoughts on the situation. The Packers seem pretty interested in him, though, right? Like, the last three boxes they could have checked were, you know, private interview at the combine, pro day, and bringing him on a private visit. And they've hit all three of those. Yeah. Christian Boyd, Northern Iowa, he's kind of fun, dude. So okay. he plays nose tackle. Not a massive guy, but like he's like 317, 6'4". They play a true like 3-4 defense. He gets some pressure. He gets into the backfield, all that stuff. He's not just like a run plugger. Showed athleticism there. Another guy who did really well at the East-West Shrine game. That's usually where, you know, the sleepers end up kind of breaking out. So he's a guy who wasn't invited to the combine, was kind of considered one of the bigger snubs of, you know, the whole combine invitation process. Apparently took a visit to Green Bay on March 21st, like right after, like the day after the pro day, which the Packers also attended. So I'm assuming that they're in the market for him. And if you guys don't know how the combine works, basically the league comes in and it's like a certain amount of players. I think it's like you have like 400 votes. So like each team's scouting department gets 400 votes, and the players who rack up the most votes are the guys who get invited to the combine. So there's not that many teams interested in Christian Boyd, apparently. And the Packers have checked the box twice, right? So another thing to kind of pay attention to. He's fun. I would watch him. Again, he's probably a day three pick. Maybe he sneaks into the end of day two. But I don't hate the idea of like him replacing like a Slayton. Slayton is a guy who I don't really think fits this defense. They don't really need a guy who's just gonna like eat up space in the middle of the field anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I know everyone tries to do the math of like, okay, well, if we add an interior defensive lineman, who are we kicking out, right? Because we already have all these guys on rookie contracts and stuff like that on the team. I think it was Silverstein reported that Kenny Clark is going to be up for a pretty big extension this offseason. Who knows if that happens before or after Devondre Campbell's, you know, money comes off the books on June 1st. But if you're trying to figure out the math of like, okay, someone comes in, someone has to leave, we don't have that many roster spots available, especially when we're expanding linebackers the way that we're going to be doing in this new defense. I think a swap with Boyd and Slayton, and then maybe trading Slayton for, you know, a fifth or sixth round pick or whatever it may be, is kind of the route you want to go down. Cause I don't think you cut Slayton. He's an NFL football player. Someone's going to be interested in the guy. But it's not a scheme fit anymore. And you know, you're looking for scheme fits. You want guys who fit your defense.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I'm a little sad because, you know, Slayton's flashed enough, at least a couple times for me that I've enjoyed it. I think he really likes the 93 Gilbert Brown comparisons at times, which I really appreciate. But I mean, a trade does make sense if you're switching to this 4-3. I'll need to watch Boyd too. If you like him, you're the DL expert on this pod. So if you like him, I have to check him out.
He's pretty fun. Recent stuff in free agency. Dylan
RIP
signed already, right? Yeah. So Nyman signed with the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Good for him. He's paid like a very high paid swing tackle. Yep. He isn't going to really get a chance to be a starter there, though. At least a 17 game starter, with the way that the Panthers have kind of paid guys across the board. A little bit surprised about that. Robert Rochelle resigned, gives them more corner depth. I don't think that's going to change how they view the cornerback position. They could carry six there. It wouldn't be a problem. Eric Wilson got re-signed. Today, he's probably a starting outside linebacker for this team.
Yeah,
we'll see what this team does down the stretch, be it, you know, a Devondre Campbell type of signing, right? Like near training camp, you know, a veteran just hanging out there. If they can't,
it turns into a first team all pro. Sign me up.
Yeah, and then takes a bunch of money from the team. The Packers also signed kicker Greg Joseph, who's like the most average kicker in the NFL over the last 3 years. And he's been doing it in a dome, which Vikings fans have been very excited to remind Packers fans the entire time. It's just cheap competition. I mean, he signed, I think it was less than $1.5 million, basically nothing guaranteed. He's not promised the starting job over Anders Carlson, but it does seem like there's going to be a competition this year.
Yeah, maybe that'll be something to wake Carlson up. After watching Crosby have like the weirdest year ever and then just go back to being a fine kicker, I'm always okay with giving kickers more than just 1 year to prove it. So we'll see what happens to Carlson. I mean, you can't coach the leg, but also I don't know how the hell you coach kickers. So,
well, that's one thing that's going to be interesting moving forward too with the whole kickoff situation, right?
Yeah.
It's like a big leg is no longer incentivized.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Because you don't want to just kick it through the end zone anymore. So what do you do with that? It's going to be interesting to see how all this stuff kind of pans out. Basically, I've had a lot of conversations with people who've worked in the XFL. Sam Schwarzstein, who's been on the podcast a couple of times.
The GOAT.
Invented basically the same exact rule that the NFL is rolling with. They're just moving it up 10 yards for the kicker. I should say, moving up 10 yards for the kicker. This is basically what's going to happen. Kickers are going to try to, like, bounce kick the ball into the end zone. So as long as it hits inside the 20, then the kicking team basically has to return it, right? Or the touchback is only 20 yards. Okay? Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Instead of coming out to the 30 or whatever the rule was. So what teams are going to do is they're going to try to kick it to the worst kick returner. And yes, there's going to be multiple kick returners on the field. There's going to be two, the way that the rules work out. They're going to be split. They're going to try to kick it to the worst kick returner in a bouncing fashion and get it into the end zone, right? And then by the time a kick returner touches that ball, he has to make a decision. Do I want to just take the 20 or do I want to try to return the ball from here, right? And the defense is already starting on the 40-yard line, basically, right? And they can't move until the kicker or the kick returner touches the ball. But you're basically trying to create uncertainty at the point of fielding the return. And that's what the game is going to become. And I don't know if that's the right way to do it. Because them moving it up 10 yards from where XFL kickers kick only helps the kicking team be able to do that even more.
Yeah.
I think the way that they're doing it creates a situation where return teams can have more negative plays than positive plays, even though that they're making this play important again, right? It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it's only a 1 year trial and all that stuff. Theoretically, I mean, the owners do have like a meeting mid season. If guys are just like fumbling the ball and making mistakes and it's swinging games and stuff like that, they could just decide mid season, like, hey, let's push it back again 10 yards and just straight up run the XFL rules. We'll see what happens though.
I am curious about it. I'm also curious that the Packers were one of the teams that actually voted against the rule.
Did you see what McCarthy said?
McCarthy or Murphy? Or...
Murphy. Sorry, okay. My brain.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious to see what he said because I wrote about this in my book, and he was one of the big proponents a few years ago about changing the kickoff rules.
Yeah, so his whole point was unintended consequences, and he thought that it should have been a preseason trial before you implemented it for a full regular season.
I like that. That's a good point.
I think it's fair. The other side of the coin is this was up for vote last year. And the argument for the no was basically, let's talk it over more. And special teams coordinators spent an entire year discussing every minute detail about this. So I understand them being like, well, we've done the work. We understand like how the, like in the NFL's press release about the rule change, like they even had like details on like what happens when the ball falls over on the tee, right? Because you're lining up 10 guys on the kicking team against 9 guys on the return team, not including the returners, right? On, you know, 5 yards apart from each other. Well, do you tell the kicking team, like, hey, you're down a guy and you have to go hold the ball all the way, you know, 40 yards away? No. So they have, they're going to have use like the kicking tees that you see on like the sideline when like the kicker's kicking into the net.
Oh, right? Really? They're like, going to use those? Game.
Yeah. So they're going to use that if the wind blows over.
Oh, I was going to say, if they use that in general, that's kind of a hazard just to have out on the field.
No, they have details on like the nearest official like has to like run onto the field after the kick and like remove the device before like the return. Like they've thought this stuff out to that detail. Like I understand why the special teams coordinators are like, why wait? Just send it.
Yeah.
Also, Bisacci wasn't one of the guys who was like working with like the other group of like mostly like they're the biggest names in the special teams coordinators were working on this rule and like had their names like on the proposals and stuff. And Bisacci wasn't one of those guys. So I wonder how much it's just Bisacci being like, well, you guys didn't either. You guys didn't ask me or I didn't want to work on it and I don't get credit for it. So
he doesn't come across as a guy that really wants to hang out with other people.
Yeah, unless there's a Yankees game on or something. Yeah. I guess the Packers missed out on a big free agent while we were gone. Do you see this?
No.
Louis Reese.
Oh yes, yes.
The rugby kid.
He ended up kid's good too.
He's
like that
sign
was
with
a
the Chiefs
youngest player to ever play professionally for wherever the hell he played, Leicester or something.
Welsh.
Like the some Welsh pro league or English pro league, something like that. But he played for the Welsh national team. Like So I played rugby. He played wing, which is like their version of a back, right? He scored a lot, like a lot of breakaways. And breakaways in rugby are extremely difficult because there's so much containment. Like he has breakaway speed. This part doesn't matter at all, but he had a couple plays where he's like full sprint and he would drop kick it to himself. Like he'd be full sprint, kick it far away, and then just in a sprint, catch it on the bounce and keep running, which is legal in rugby. It's a very fun play to watch. Like, I actually have scouting notes on this kid. I was excited that the Packers were bringing him in for a visit.
I got nothing. I just talked to Mark, who I used to work with XFL. He does IPP stuff in Europe now, so this is right up his alley. And yeah, he was like, so the NFL has a new rule apparently with the IPP guys, which international player pathways. It's basically where the NFL tries to convert players from another sport into football. That's the easiest way to explain it. The non-draft eligible guys are eligible to sign with NFL teams after their pro day, which was March 20th, which is why you've heard so much about this rugby kid, because he ran a 4.4 on March 20th and he's been eligible to sign with whoever can get him to write his name on a contract as fast as possible. I think he went to visit Broncos, Jets, Browns, Chiefs, and then he ended up he's apparently going to sign with the Chiefs on Friday. He had a visit scheduled with the Packers on Thursday. I don't know if that visit is happening anymore, but like maybe they have one last chance to try to swing him, but it sounds like he's going to be a Chief. They talked about him as a possible wide receiver, you know, running back type of guy. There are two IPP guys that I want to put on your guys' radar. The first is Bayron Matos, who is he was originally a Dominican basketball player for New Mexico and then ended up transferring to South Florida. After his basketball career at South Florida, he walked on the football team, played defensive line, then offensive line. Tyler, were you there to see the screenshot that I sent to the APC Slack? He looks like, you guys remember the like Sean Oakman photo with him at like the coin toss and like the jersey all rolled up, his abs showing out, like just absolutely jacked at like 6'9", 300 pounds. Like that's what this dude looks like.
I'm trying to find the picture. I can't find it. I'm kind of disappointed.
I could send it to you later. It was from when he was playing defensive line for South Florida, but he has since converted to offensive line. He apparently had like a 90 mile an hour pitch too when he was in the Dominican Republic and was working as a pitcher there. So sounds like he's like a crazy athletic guy. Sounds like he has easily the best chance of getting drafted out of these guys. The other one is Travis Clayton, who was a boxer and a rugby player from England at 313 pounds. Guess what? Or 301 pounds. Guess what his 40-yard dash was?
301 pounds?
Yes.
It's, I imagine it's going to be fast. Or 4.9?
4.79. Yeah, that's a very fast guy. Matos, by the way, ran a 4.96 at 313 and had a short shuttle of 4.77 and a three cone of 7.64, which are both very solid numbers for offensive linemen. So we're talking about two pretty good athletes here. The IPP is known for kind of developing linemen more than anything. So don't be surprised if you're like, what? The Packers drafted a Dominican offensive lineman or, you know, an English offensive lineman? Like, where the heck did this come from? It came from the IPP. They converted these guys, and they've been working stateside for about 10 weeks. So,
Jordan Mailata, IPP guy.
Yep. I think he's the last IPP guy who's gotten drafted. So we'll see what happens. I was told those two guys have a pretty good chance. And then the rugby player we already discussed was a guy who was going to sign as a free agent. All right. Now that we have all that out of the way, what do you want to talk about? You've been watching defensive linemen or something? You told me you watched Roro, you watched Wingo.
Yeah, I got how many D linemen did I get to? 10. But I also got to 20 O linemen. Like I watched quite a few.
We'll talk about some of the guys that you've seen.
Yeah. We talked about Limmer, who I like. He was OL 14 for me. I have OL 11 as a new guy, and I don't really know where to put him, but it's this Yale kid, Kieran.
Yeah.
Amagaji. I probably absolutely butchered it. But he's
6'5". It's in a red squiggly line in the document that I see. So
36 plus inch arms. For a tackle, latches on to guys, finishes blocks. I was surprised at his size, how good his pad level is at the point of contact. The problem is he's playing against FCS competition and like Ivy League schools.
I was going to say not even FCS. It's, hey, these guys have to be smart and they're not taking a scholarship. Yeah.
I don't know how to evaluate.
Well,
that,
he was banged up too, right? So he didn't even get his like,
no, yeah. He only played a couple games. Yeah. It's
so
a very difficult evaluation, but I saw 36 inch arms and I watched him latch on to people and I was at least intrigued.
He's literally next on my list. So
yeah,
I have a guy.
It was fun. You have a guy. Why don't we just take turns naming guys?
Oh, sounds good to me. yeah, here, I'll start with this one. Christian Haynes out of UConn.
Yep. Yeah,
he's a guard. He wins every block. Oh yeah. My God.
We talked about him a bit last O-line episode.
Yeah, he's awesome. I ended up having him. I have him OL 11. Which sounds like I'm down on him, but like everyone in the top 10 can go in the first round to me. Yeah. So like I have him ahead, like Zach Frazier, who's a guy who's been talked about in the first round. Tyler Guyton, he's another guy who's been talked about in the first round. So like if Haynes is the guy's second round pick, I'm super excited. Again, wins every reach block possible.
Yep.
The center did not help him at all at UConn. I had to
the right tackle didn't either. It was so bad.
The center is listed at 270. He looks like a long snapper. He looks like he's like 240. Yeah, UConn film, pretty bad. Christian Haynes film, pretty good.
Did you watch the reps where the right tackle can't get enough depth on the rush and then Haynes is cleaning up outside of the tackle? Yeah. It's some of the funniest shit. Did you see him also in the like those short yardage situations, how low he's getting in the trenches? Like,
and he destroyed. Yes. And again, I can't remember who said it. I think I read it somewhere, but someone was like, you know, you watch them in that Michigan game and they're down like 60. It's the fourth quarter. And you would have thought that, you know, the Super Bowl was on the line. Like that's the kind of kid that he is.
Yeah.
UConn I think they won like two games this past year. They weren't very good after, you know, Morris' first year was half decent. So I'd be pretty excited about him.
Me too.
He's fun. Like the second round pick.
So. I've got another guy in that same tier as Haynes, and that's Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia.
I'm not joking. He's second less. So number one is the Yale guy, and it's the Georgia guy. That's 1-2 on my watch list of guys I still need to watch on the offensive line.
I literally wrote down my first sentence is that he's an ass-kicking center. Like, just plays through the whistle, mean about it, finishes through blocks. He has really good core strength, like turn and steer, moves pretty well, snaps looked pretty consistent. I cannot evaluate snaps for the freaking life of me, but I didn't see any bad ones. I just think he could be like a real nasty guy. He's a little stiff, but I just think he's so damn strong and finishes through. There's definitely a guy there, and I'm quite a big fan of him.
What do you think of Patrick Paul, the left tackle from Houston? I watched him. I have him 13th out of 15 guys.
I had him 17th out of 20.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I want to like
that's
him.
That's not that far off.
6'7.5" and 330. Like, he's
huge. Do you like him or Guyton more? That's my question.
Yeah, I have Guyton slightly higher.
I like Paul. Paul is one spot ahead of Guyton for me. He doesn't know how to use his hands yet, even though he's played a whole lot of football. He's got a brother in the league. That makes me worried, right? Because you're like, okay, you're at Houston, which is for, you know, they're Big 12 now, right? Like, they're spending money on coaches. You have a brother in the league. Like, you've been hyped up as this kind of a prospect. You think you take to this coaching a little bit more by now, but it hasn't happened. I mean, maybe that's something that it would benefit us if we got to have, you know, private visits with these guys and stuff like that. So we kind of got to fill in the gaps just watching film. I think he's kind of boring, but he's like a solid pass protector. His body's good for the position just in terms of like the frame. Like, I think that's why people like him, right? Like, he's a big guy. If you need
size and athletic ability, like, checks those boxes. Yeah,
I didn't think that his feet were that good though.
That's it's kind of, I wonder how much of that's technique versus actual just gifts.
Yeah.
Cause his like pass sets look nasty. I wrote down his like technique, IQ and competitive toughness are all disappointing. Yeah. Like, he should be so much better than he is.
Yeah.
Just like Guyton,
use his hands yet.
That's kind of similar with Guyton.
Yeah. I put, he might need a red shirt year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those were the two offensive linemen I actually watched after I told you guys that I was going to watch 10 offensive linemen over the next week.
Yeah. I only watched seven.
What about Ororo?
Oh, man.
I didn't pay attention. The only reason I've watched the Clemson's defense was to watch the linebacker, and I ended up liking zero more than Jeremiah Trotter. So,
yeah, I mean, I just turned on the film, and just like body type wise, I was like, wow, okay. Checks a lot of boxes right out of the way. But what I liked is he played all over that Clemson line, and when it comes to run defense, like, this man is going to be very good at it. I think the only problems he has against the runner is when he's getting like kind of steered on outside zone, and if his momentum's like slanting one direction, he's not really able to redirect, so that that gap can kind of get kind of washed out and widen that gap. But like, he blows up pulling guards and pulling blockers. Like, I watched against Florida State, he knocked someone completely on their ass. Just very strong, very athletic. He really explodes off the snap. Stacks and sheds well, has length. He's a little stiff. I wouldn't say he's very stiff. I think he hesitates a little bit as a pass rusher. It doesn't seem like something he really worked on. But from like an athletic profile, he's only played high school since he only played football since his junior year of high school.
Good God. Was he a basketball kid?
No, he's just from Nigeria. Like a incredible, his like athletic profiles are similar to other guys that were like this kind of, what is he capable of? Mike Neal was one of his athletic comps. Robert Kemdichie, who's one day going to figure it out, as Sean Meerdink pointed out, another athletic comp. But like, there is so much potential in this kid, and what he's already capable of doing is like an early down starter, in my opinion. And if he can figure out the pass rushing stuff, like, this is an upside player that I think could be like a long time starter in the NFL. I'm a huge fan of him.
Here's a couple defensive line thoughts. I haven't really watched the full class in depth. Again, I'm still trying to patch up on offensive linemen when I'm not moving stuff all the way across Oregon at this point. Byron Murphy, the kid out of Texas, clear first round pick.
Holy shit. Yeah.
His
awesome.
His floor is 19 to the Rams, I feel like. Yeah. Like he's so good. And he played a lot of people think, you know, hey, Sweat was the big guy. Murphy was the little guy. Sweat was just playing nose tackle the entire time. Murphy was playing three tech the whole time. Not how Texas's defense worked. Like Murphy played a whole lot of nose tackle too, and he looked half decent on those reps. Fisk, the kid from Florida State who had the big combine, I still think he's pretty stiff. I know what he ran, you know, on the 40 and all that stuff, but I'm not buying the hype there the same
way.
He's
stiff
other people
and
are.
Stout. I like the motor. Oh, yeah. He's got some moves. Like, I am impressed for how well he holds his own, like, as a smaller.
He's also going to be like a 25-year-old, and he just transferred to FSU after being a MAC guy for a while.
I can't. I can't say too much bad about him. One of our coaches was teammates with him at Western, so he's a big fan. Yeah.
Michael Hall Jr. is coming in on a visit. That is, I think, a supplement thing for the Packers not going to Ohio State's pro day, because Ohio State didn't have enough players that were actually going to do anything. Because Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't do squat. The Packers aren't going to be in a position to draft him anyway, and so many of those Buckeyes ended up returning. So I think they were just like, bring Michael Hall Jr. on a visit and let's go hit something else.
I didn't love him.
He's fun. He's skinny.
He's a tweener.
The whole comment about, you know, not wanting to get small and stuff like that on the defensive line because it happens in a hurry. Like, well, then what do you do with Hall then? Especially when you already have Wooden, right?
I viewed him as redundant to Wooden and maybe Brooks. Like, he's going to be a pass rush guy early in his career because that's primarily where he's been winning at college. I would rather have a different type of player than that when you already have similar players on the roster.
I think I like him a good bit more than Wooden. I think the second
round. Oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm not saying Wooden's round is good. Yeah, but.
Yeah. Late second round makes sense to me for Michael Hall. But, yeah, I don't really get the fit. Mason Smith and Leonard Taylor are two guys who I think stock is dropping like crazy. I think they're just both knuckleheads from what I've been able to piece together from the grapevine. Mekhi Wingo is a guy that I told you to watch.
Your guy.
He's so fun.
He is.
I love him. I've liked him since week one of the college football regular season when they play. Did they play Florida State, I think?
Yeah. Opener. Yep.
He stood out then. He wears number 18. Like you said, that's like a big deal for LSU. That's like a jersey that they kind of rotate throughout the program, and it like goes to their stars and stuff like that. I think Pat Surtain am I getting that old? Patrick Peterson. There we go.
There you go. Yep.
The P's messed me up. Wingo's a really good kid. He has the get off. He beats down blocks like crazy. I think if you're looking at a three technique who can like give you a little bit more juice, man, like Mekhi Wingo, I'd bang the table for Mekhi Wingo before a Michael Hall Jr.
I would too. I have him ahead of Hall. I think what I love about him, like those measurements are pretty disappointing. Like he's 284 pounds. He probably shed some weight for testing and he's not very long, but like he might have my favorite motor in the entire draft class. So like consistently playing with intensity, urgency, effort, for being undersized and less long. Like he holds his own against the run so damn well. And then he's got that short area quickness where he can still get into the backfield. Like it's a really
he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
He's
it's a really fun combination of skill sets. I think the problem is in pursuit, like, and his lack of length, like he's not gonna be able to wrap up ball carries, getting off a block as easily as some of these other guys. But again, just like there's so many skills of his that are very fun. Where you, like you said, I think that could be a very fun addition to the DL room.
Yeah, I just need you to be a bullet, dude. That's it. I just need you to be a bullet and just penetrate this offensive line.
What about Dorless? Because you're the Oregon guy. And
I do like Dorless and Wingo. If we do a My Guy, we're gonna do a My Guys pod at some
point. We kill the My Guys, by the way. Just we historically. Did.
Wingo and Dorless are easily the My Guys on the defensive line. Because I guess, you can't count Murphy because he's going to be like a top 15 pick. That doesn't count. Dorless is really fun. He's a kid out of Oregon. I think he weighed in at like 280. really, really, really good pass rusher. Can do it from the interior, can do it from the outside. Wingo had a couple outside ones too. Every time that you line up Wingo on an offensive tackle, he can just bull rush the hell out of him and like legitimately collapse the dude. It's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
Dorless, super athletic. He's another one of those guys where it's like someone's going to look at him and use him as like a really, really, really good interior pass rusher early on. It's just like, is he going to lose weight? Is he going to gain weight? Can he stick at the weight that he's been playing at? Did you see what Aaron Donald said in his like, post-retirement thing, by the way?
No.
He said he played most games at like 260.
Isn't that? Oh, I didn't see that. That's absolutely insane.
Nuts. Insane. There will never be another guy like that because there's a lot of guys in college football who are playing defensive tackle at that size and have a half decent production. It's not going to stick when they go to the next level. Dorless is big enough, long enough that it might end up working for him. I think Dorless is a guy, probably second, third round. You're looking at him at like that turn and you're just saying like, all right, man, at the very least we get good interior pass rush. If it all hits, I mean, you're talking about a guy who like is maybe a Pro Bowler, right?
He's got a lot of the tools that check boxes for me. Long, quick, explosive, motor. I love his bull rush. Like I think he ties everything about his skill set together well when it comes to a bull rush. And it shows on tape.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know other guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like anyone else who I've seen.
What about Johnny Newton? Have you watched him yet? The Illinois kid?
Oh, Drewzon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've seen him. He's good.
Does he fit? Does he fit in Green Bay? This is my problem. I need to actually, I think I've told you, I need to actually watch this defense once it actually happens in 2024 to get a better idea of these D-line fits.
The thing about Newton is, like, what are you going to, like, what's the plan?
Yeah.
If you take a defensive lineman in the first round, an interior guy, what's the plan? Because you're going to give Kenny Clark a huge contract according to Spoons. Which, like, if you weren't going to do that, okay. Like, Newton can play one tech.
Yeah.
He can play three also, but he can play one tech for you, and then you have Wyatt and you have Brooks, right? Like, so
it's weird.
I don't know about spending that high of a draft pick.
If he falls to the 40s, do you take him?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if he's the best player on the board, you just kind of like figure it out, and then you're like, all right, Wyatt, you're probably gonna get cycled out at some point.
Yeah, I really liked Chris Jenkins, Cullen Jenkins' nephew.
Yes.
And then who's his dad?
Chris Jenkins.
Chris Jenkins. Yeah. Other Chris Jenkins. Wow. I just thought he's immediately going to be a run support guy that has a little bit of juice. And well, I think we'll keep working as a pass rusher. But, ooh, fun film on a team that was kind of built pro ready for a D lineman like that. I'm kind of excited to see where he ends up.
I got to watch a row. I'll try to
love him. Again, it's not the flashiest film. But, like, you can see what's going to make him an NFL player. And I am pretty excited about it.
I'll watch a row. I'll watch more offensive linemen. And then as visits start rolling in, I'll watch more of those guys on visits. By the way, this is the full list of the visit guys that we have for the Packers. If I could stall long enough so that I can control F. Here we go. Edgerrin Cooper. Out of A&M, he's another guy that I think it makes sense that they brought him in because it doesn't sound like they went to A&M's pro day. He's a linebacker. He's consensus number one on the draft board. We've talked about him a couple times on the pod. We already mentioned Michael Hall Jr. We already mentioned Jerrion Jones, the slot corner from Florida State. We mentioned Boyd, the defensive tackle out of Northern Iowa. We mentioned the linebacker, Trevin Wallace from Kentucky. And then the other guy, Zach Zinter, from Michigan. Didn't sound like Packers went to
Michigan's I watched him. Did not like him. I'm sorry.
I haven't seen him. I know he has a medical concern.
Yeah. He broke his leg against Ohio State. Yeah. Pretty wild. Yeah. Probably one of the coolest moments of the college football season, though. I'm not a Michigan or Ohio State fan, but him breaking his leg in the game and like the whole team rallying around him, and then the very next play, Blake Corum broke out a touchdown and then flashed his jersey number with his hand. Like, just a cool college moment.
So, yeah, those are the guys that the Packers have brought in. They should have, like, 25 more, and they should start rolling in pretty quickly.
Yeah, we need those names soon. I'm itching for them.
Yeah. The Packers will have their local pro day, too. Don't get swindled by that. that is not a limited thing. So, like, they'll bring in guys from Northern Illinois and stuff like that, and they basically get a free visit with those guys by hosting a local pro day. I don't really even know why the NFL does that. Like, they're not trying to incentivize teams taking local kids, really. So I don't know why they do that.
I wonder if it's to benefit smaller programs that don't get, like, a big enough stage. Like, Northern Illinois is a MAC program that it's been a while since they've been relevant. But, like, other small schools getting a chance to those kids to get some opportunities.
But they send their kids to other.
It's true.
Like, Virginia State had their pro day at the University of Virginia.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, stuff like that. So I don't know. That part never made sense to me. But sure, it makes
sense. Might be just an antiquated thing that they still do.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Tyler?
Real quick shout out to Malik Mustafa, who I have moved up a spot in my big board to safety 4, just outside of that last tier, because he has an over 9 RAS now. He blew up his pro day. I think he had he just tested very well. And the athleticism matching up with the tape of I'm a psycho that is going to hit people. Sign me the hell up, man. Like, if he is a late day 2, early day 3 guy the Packers take, I'm celebrating. I'm popping champagne.
I have to take another L on athleticism projection.
Are you talking about Jaden Hicks?
Jaden Hicks.
What the heck, man?
Ran a 4.4. I thought he was the worst athlete of the safeties that I had watched. I'm going to need to go back and watch him and also Cole Bishop. So add those to my list for next week.
The Washington tape for Hicks is great, but I felt like he was just in good positions except for mesh. And every time I watch him run mesh, it's bad. I'm so confused.
Packers were there at that pro day, by the way. The Packers have...
Wazoo?
Yeah. The Packers have pretty much been at all the major safeties pro days. So they were there for Newbin at Minnesota, Georgia for Bullard, USC for Bullock, Washington State for Hicks. Those guys are all the guys in the top 85 outside of Cameron Kitchens from Miami of Florida on the consensus draft board right now. I wonder if Kitchens is a guy that they bring in on a visit, right? Maybe that's one of the situations where they're like, too many pro days today. We can't make it to Miami. Let's just bring in Kitchens on a pre-draft visit. I wouldn't be surprised by that either.
I wouldn't be mad if they take him. I know the athleticism indicates they're not going to take a chance on him, but I enjoyed the tape. He's just
that's
fun.
The thing is, like, anytime you mock Newbin or Kitchens to the Packers, everyone's like, the athleticism. And I'm like, okay, I get it, but, like, one, I think Newbin's still coming off of his injury.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the athleticism matches with what he's actually done on the field. And then that leaves you with Bullard, Bullock, Hicks, and Bishop in the top 128 picks of the draft projected right now. And Bullock isn't a guy who's ready. Bishop, I think, is, like, a special teams guy early on. Hicks, I got to go revisit because my question was athleticism to the highest degree. And apparently he's not an issue there. But, like, Bullard is, like, the only guy who makes sense then. Yeah. So it's, like, Bullard or bust at safety?
Safety just, one, baby. Let's ride.
We just ran this poll on the site, and everyone, you know, even though we signed the highest paid safety on the free agency market, you know, it's still one of our top two needs. So,
because who's the only other safeties on contract? Anthony Johnson Jr.
Benny Sapp. And then special teams guys.
Yeah, that's rough.
They're going to need someone. They need another body.
Cool. All right. That's the only shout out I had. Are we doing my guys next week? What do you want to do next week?
Let's see how many visits they get.
Yeah.
And if I can watch enough offensive linemen. And then if not, we'll do my guys.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Go Pack, go.